This morning I'm preaching under the title, The Peace of God. The Peace of God. I think you probably have the notes, but I want to call your attention to the reading of God's Word, Isaiah 26 and the first three verses. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You, that is the Lord, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. He will keep you in perfect peace. I want to take a few moments this morning to share with you a word about the peace of God. I've been to Japan a number of times over the past 10 years, and there have been many times I've been asked to join a group at Keza conventions for photo opportunities to take pictures. And I noticed many Japanese have the habit of putting up the peace sign when it comes time for the picture, so we have peace. So I'm in many pictures with people holding up the peace sign. And that's a good thing, but I wonder if we really understand what is meant by peace. We're living in turbulent times. We're living in difficult times. There seems to be a blanket of fearfulness and anxiety in the air, literally everywhere I go. This is true on a global scale, it's true on a national scale, especially, I think, in my own country, and some of the unease and the nervousness there, the lack of peace in so many areas. It's true on a local level. It is even true at a personal level, and probably that is the most important for us this morning, to think about our personal peace. We can live in a land of peace. We can live and a place where peace does exist and still not have peace in our own hearts. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was Isaiah who some 6,700 years before his birth announced that he would be the Prince of Peace. So we come this morning with a very, very important topic on our hearts and minds. We come to investigate what the Word of God says about what it means to have peace. In John 14, verse 27, the Lord Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus said, "I give you peace. I give you my peace." And if that peace is available, and it's freely given, and if Christ is the source of that peace, why do so few people have that peace? The pastor told you that I was myself a pastor for 42 years, and ministering to congregations made up of Christian people. It was quite alarming to me to discover how many of them were living without the peace of God. They were living in the grips of anxiety and unease and distress with no peace of God. God promises His children peace that passes all understanding. John 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you that you may have peace." These things I have spoken to you. What did He say? What were the things He said? "These things I have spoken to you." Well, He talked about going away. He says, "The time is coming. I will die. I will be buried. I will be raised again. I will ascend back to my Father. But do not be distressed, for I will send my Spirit to be with you." And the Holy Spirit has come, and the Holy Spirit is with us. And Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." This is an important verse because it sets in context the truth that though we live in the turbulent world in which we live, we can know and experience and have the peace of God. It seems almost like a contradiction in terms that we could live in a world that is filled with anxiety, that is a world that seems to be totally void of peace, yet we can know peace in our hearts. And that is my prayer for you this morning. It's the prayer that I've prayed already for you, that if there's anyone in this room, in this service, hearing the Word of God, if there's anyone beyond this building, that's one of the wonderful things. I talked to Brother Alistair this morning about this church. It is indeed an international church. It's quite a remarkable thing that I can stand in this pulpit today and really have a voice to the world. I hope you are aware of the impact of that, the importance of that. And if there's a message that needs to be heard globally today, and I think you'll agree with this, it is the message of peace. But I was about to say that it seems almost contradictory that we can live in a world that is seemingly falling apart in so many ways, and yet we can have peace. But that's God's promise to us. We do not have to wait for the environment to be at peace, for people to be at peace, for the world to be at peace. You can know the peace of God in your heart today. And that's my prayer for you. Psalm 34 and verse 14, the psalmist says, "Depart from evil and do good." And then he said these words, "Seek peace and pursue it." Seek peace and pursue it. Peace is something to be sought after. Peace is something to be pursued. This indicates that there is an effort on our part. There's movement on our part. There's an intentionality on our part. We're moving toward peace. We're seeking peace. We're striving to do what is required to be where we need to be, to do what we need to do, to have peace. And then we come to this passage in Isaiah, and he describes this peace of God as a perfect peace. A perfect peace. I think that's something that should intrigue us. The world may never be at peace until the Lord Jesus Christ returns to receive us into His presence, but you can know the peace of God. When the Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, in chapter 4 and verse 17, he wrote, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ." Brothers and sisters, this is an interesting verse. I want you to look at it with me just for a moment. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding." It's beyond our comprehension. I've known people who have experienced great tragedy. I've known people who have had significant disappointment to come into their lives. And yet they have a peace that passes all understanding. I was blessed to have a maternal grandmother like that. My mother's mother was a godly woman, a wonderful Christian. And she went to be with the Lord when she was 92 years of age. This is not in your notes, but my grandmother went to be with the Lord when she was 92 years of age. And the thing that I remember about her, I remember many things about her, but she had a countenance upon her face, a smile, a sense of calm. And she went through some difficult times. She lived in an era of time when life was hard and challenges were great. We had a tragedy in our family when I was about 33 years of age. And my grandmother, I watched her, with the death of my mother, her oldest daughter. And as we were waiting for my grandmother to arrive at our home after significant tragedy had occurred in our family, I was concerned about my grandmother. How is grandmother going to be with the death of her oldest child in such a manner as she died? And so quickly, so suddenly. And I remember when my grandmother arrived, she was doing two things at the same time. She was crying and laughing. And she wasn't laughing like it's funny. It was a laughter of a peace and a joy in the Lord. And at the same time, the tears were flowing. I mean, there was a brokenness and there were tears. But her laughter was an expression of, "I trust in the Lord and I have confidence in the Lord and I believe in the Lord and I hold to the Lord. I cling to the Lord. My peace is in Him." my assurances in him. At the same time, a broken heart was being expressed as well. Peace that passes all understanding. That's a remarkable peace. It's an indescribable peace. And it is a peace that is available to you and to me today. That's what Paul says. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Do you know what this word means when it says keep your hearts and keep your minds? That the original language here carries the idea of building a fortress around your heart, a garrison around your heart. The peace of God will put a fort, a fortress around your heart. I have not been to Osaka Castle this time, but every time in the past when I've been in Osaka, I take a taxi from the Riverside Hotel, where the Keswick Convention is held, down to Osaka Castle. Typically Saturday, yesterday, is my free day, my off day with Keswick. It turned out to be a busy day, so I didn't get to see the castle. But you've been there, you've seen it, you know, you live here, you know the castle. And you just think about those mammoth walls, those stone walls. And then you think about the moat that is around the castle. All castles in the world are built on a similar plan, a moat and walls and moat and the fortress of the walls. I mean, all of those are designed, those things are designed for the safety and the protection of those who are inside the fort, inside the castle. That's the imagery that comes to my mind when I think about this verse here. The peace of God which passes all understanding will build a fortress. It will put a moat and a rock wall, solid fortress around your heart. And I'm telling you that in the world in which we live and the circumstances that we face every day, we need a fortress around our hearts. We need that wall around our hearts. We need that moat around our hearts. That's what Paul is saying. The peace of God will be like a fortress. And I pray that you'll experience that today. Christ is our peace. He says, Paul said, the peace of God will keep your hearts. And it is Christ who is our peace, the peace of God. Christ is our anchor in the storm. The Lord Jesus never promised that life would be easy. And for many, if not for most people, life is not easy. For many, if not for most, life is difficult. It has its challenges. Christ never said it would be easy to be a Christian. In fact, we're living in a world where it's becoming more and more difficult to be a Christian. We're facing greater resistance on a greater scale as Christians than we've ever experienced before. But he said, even in that context, you can have a peace that passes all understanding. The Apostle Paul wrote also in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 14, regarding this peace of God. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For Christ himself is our peace." That is a wonderful verse. And it really summarizes everything that I would say today, from the beginning to the end of this sermon. What else can I say? Paul says it here when he says, "Christ is our peace." Christ is our peace. For he himself, Paul said, for he himself is our peace. You say, where do I find this peace that you're talking about? How can I have that fortress, that moat, that fortress? How can I have this protection? How can I have a calm and a sense of assurance and security, a peace that passes all understanding? Well, we find it in Christ, for he himself, it is Christ himself who is our peace. Christ didn't just give peace, he gave himself. And by receiving him, we receive his peace. For the next few moments, I want to talk about three things regarding this passage and regarding this matter of peace. I want to ask, first of all, a question. What is meant by perfect peace? I mean, that's quite a strong statement that we hear from Isaiah talking about the Lord. You will keep him, that is the person who trusts in you, you will keep him in perfect peace. What does that mean? I think it carries the idea of the absence of internal or inner turmoil. It means that there's no frantic rush in life. It means that we can be free of the anxiety of worry and distress and depression. But we have to understand this peace is a supernatural peace. It's a supernatural. And that's the thing that must be on our hearts and minds today. This is not a normal kind of thing. It's not the kind of peace that taking a medication pill can do, or engaging in some kind of promiscuous pleasure, or drinking alcohol, or using drugs. I mean, it's not the kind of peace. Those kinds of things may bring a momentary sense of peace and calm because you kind of detached yourself from reality. That's not perfect peace. That's a fake peace, a phony peace, a temporary peace at best. The kind of peace that we're talking about now is the perfect peace of God. The perfect peace of God. And this is accompanied by the fact that we serve a God who never changes, and we can trust in Him. This perfect peace provides joy in the midst of our unhappiness. And I think this is another thing that we need to consider when we think about the peace of God, because peace does give us a sense of joy, because we're free of the things that will rob us of joy. But at that point, we have to understand there's a difference between joy and happiness. I think many people are pursuing happiness, but your happiness can be determined and affected by the circumstances of life. Happenings affect happiness, but joy is not affected by happenings. I go back to my grandmother that I described just a few moments ago when I saw her arriving at our house to be a part of the family dealing with the news we'd just received. And I see her weeping and this unusual expression of laughter that seemed contradictory to me. I'm just thinking, how is this happening? How is this going on? How is she having this sense of calm in her life at this moment? And then I had to realize that it's not the joy that she has and the peace that she has is not affected by circumstances. We feel the circumstances, but there's something supernatural inside that comes from God and God alone. Our joy exceeds our happiness because of the peace that God can give. So it's a perfect peace. It's a perfect peace because it's a supernatural peace. But the second thing I would call to your attention is this. How does a person get the peace of God? I would hope that by this point, all of you, to some degree, have been stirred by the challenge of just the reading of the Scriptures and the few comments I've made to have the peace of God. I hope someone's saying, I want that peace. I want that peace of God. I want to be free of the inner turmoil in life. I want to be free of circumstances always wreaking havoc on my life. I want the perfect peace of God. How do I receive that peace? Well, there are conditions that we must meet, because the peace of God is not just given out arbitrarily. It's not distributed arbitrarily. There are conditions we must meet. We have a phrase in the States, it's called nilly-willy. It means arbitrarily. God doesn't just hand out peace nilly-willy, arbitrarily. He gives His peace to the person who meets his conditions for peace. And we need to talk about that a few moments, because if you want the peace of God, you have to meet the conditions of God. The first condition is that we must be at peace with God. We must be at peace with God. That's the very first thing. This is an important thing. Because I know people who want the peace of God. They say they want the peace of God. They strive for the peace of God. Talk to me in a pastoral context. I need the peace of God in my life. I'm wanting peace. I'm wanting peace. I'm wanting peace. But at the same time, they have set themselves against God. Their behavior, their attitude, their conduct. The peace of God and a disobedient heart cannot coexist. And I want you to hear that statement again, because it's an important one. The peace of God, the perfect peace of God, and a disobedient heart cannot coexist. So if there's anyone here that's saying in your heart today, I want the peace of God, the first thing you have to do is raise a white flag to God and say, I need to be at peace with you. Because the peace of God will never come to an individual until that individual is at peace with God. The peace of God in a disobedient heart cannot coexist. In Proverbs 15:29, Solomon said a word that supports what I'm saying now, and it's an important verse for us this morning. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far away from the wicked. The Lord is far away from the wicked. Do you ever feel like God's far away? You ever feel that God, there's distance between you and God? When those times come, we have to ask ourselves, why? What have I done? What's going on in my life? Am I deliberately disobedient to God, willfully disobedient to God? Am I walking in ways that does not please Him, living a life that's not pleasing to Him? The Lord is far from the wicked. And remember what I said at the very beginning, the peace of God comes packaged in Jesus. If you want peace, you've got to have Jesus. Because He is the peace. He's the source of peace. So you have to surrender to Him. That may be the starting point for some. For a man or a woman or a young person to be at peace with God, he must first have a right relationship with God. A lost person, a non-Christian person, can never understand the subject of this sermon. It is beyond comprehension to that person who is not a Christian. Because a lost person cannot have this peace. A disobedient Christian cannot have this peace. The peace of God comes to a person in one way, and only one way, and that is a right relationship with Jesus Christ. So the challenge that I bring to you from my heart to yours, as one Christian to another and as a Christian to a non-Christian, my challenge to you is to get right with God. Become a Christian. Acknowledge your sin before God. Acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, the one and only way to salvation. No man can come to God except through Jesus Christ. And in a very real sense, raise the white flag of surrender in your life and say, Lord, I acknowledge you today as the Son of God who came to this earth and died on a cross, buried in a tomb, raised again the third day, ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, still reigning and ruling to be my Lord and Savior. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm a person who's living in disobedience by my very nature and by my very choice. And I surrender today because I realize if the preacher's telling the truth, and I am telling the truth, that the first step to getting the peace of God is to get right with God if you're not a Christian. Become a Christian. A non-Christian person has no concept of the sermon I'm preaching today on the peace of God. It is something that is outside of you and it's actually beyond your reach. Until you come to have a personal relationship with Jesus. That's the starting point. Peace comes when we surrender to Jesus. But the second thing I would say is that for a man or woman, young person to have the peace of God in his or her heart, we must fix our focus on Jesus. I'm talking to Christians now. I'm talking to followers of Christ, that we must live with our focus and our eyes, our heart, our affections fixed on Jesus. You cannot live with your mind and heart preoccupied with everything else and have the peace of God. And many of you, all of us to some degree, I need to be fair because I include myself, I'm a human being too. And I understand the nature of our humanity. But we come to this room on Sunday morning. And we all, to varying degrees, brought stuff with us from home, from work, from community, from life. And if we're not careful, that stuff can become so preoccupying in our mind that it's all we see. It consumes us. and we lose sight of Jesus. It's easy when we're going through trials and tribulations to just see the trials and the tribulations. It's easy when we hit a rough patch in life to just be preoccupied with what's going on in the moment. You'll remember in Matthew chapter 14, the disciples were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm came upon the sea. It's a very turbulent storm. And they were fearful, very fearful that this could be a disaster. And then they saw a figure walking on the water. Then they determined and discovered that it was Jesus walking on the water. And Simon Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, it's really you, please beckon me to come. Let me come to you. Let me walk on the water with you." Jesus said, "Come on, come on." And Simon Peter got out of the boat, and sure enough, he began to walk just as Jesus was walking on the water. But you know the story. It's a very familiar story. Suddenly, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and began. He heard the wind howling. He saw the waves crashing. And suddenly, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he became preoccupied with his surroundings. He became preoccupied with the waves and the wind. He became preoccupied with the storm. And what happened? He sank like a rock. He went underneath the water because he took his eyes off of Jesus and he focused on his circumstances. I'm saying two things to you. A person to know the peace of God, number one, has to be born again. That's the starting point. But number two, those of us who are Christians, to know the peace of God, we have to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. We can't always be thinking about other stuff. In fact, that we become neurotic when we do that. We lose all sight of reality and what it means to be a Christian. You can't constantly be looking at problems and have the peace of God. You have to look at Jesus in the midst of your problems. We understand that. That's a truth that I think we need to get. Your gaze must be fixed on Jesus. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, what did he mean by that? He meant simply that we need to think as Jesus thought. Have the mind, have the same mind, the same propensity to thought. And what was our Lord's propensity for thinking? It was always to be thinking about the will of the Father, the will of the Father, the will of the Father, the glory of his Father. That everything he would say would glorify his Father. Everything he would do would glorify his Father. Everything he would do would be pleasing to his Father. He was so consumed by that that nothing else really penetrated. We need that kind of mind in our minds and in our hearts. And then finally, I want to just say a word about this promise that we see in Isaiah when it says, "You, Lord, will give him perfect peace." You will give him perfect peace. You will give him perfect peace. In my style of preaching as a southerner from the States, and you probably are aware that we have cultural differences there, just as you have here in other parts of the world, but we go at things sometimes a little differently, and I just think about this promise here. I would say this, God didn't say I might. God never says I might do this. When God makes promises, there's no maybe or might to it. There is a definite, irrevocable promise, and God has promised to give us peace. There doesn't have to be a person walk out of this room today say, "Well, that might be for somebody else, but it's not for me." God might give somebody else peace, but he doesn't give me peace. For whatever reason, I'm excluded. No, you're not excluded. You're not excluded at all. There is not a person in this room this morning who cannot, if you meet the conditions of God, who cannot have the peace of God that passes all understanding. He will give you perfect peace. And I would say two things, and I'm being a bit repetitive here, but the first thing is to focus on Jesus. That's the starting point. How do I get this peace? Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Become consumed with Jesus. And secondly, focus on the Word of God. Let the Word of God begin to be woven into the very fabric of your being, into the warp and woof of your life. Listen to the Word of God. Psalm 119 is a psalm that just from beginning to end just shouts out the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. It is a psalm about the Word of God. And Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Great peace have those who love your Word. Focus on Jesus and get into the Bible. Focus on Jesus and get into the Bible. And I promise you that you will begin to see your peace level increasing, even in the midst of difficult times, because you're focused on Jesus and you're feeding yourself on the Word of God. Jesus and the Word. Jesus and the Word. This peace of God, this perfect peace of God, brothers and sisters, is not beyond your reach, and no one's excluded from it. It is available to all who will meet His standard and who will come to Him. Amen.